Greetings and welcome back to our study, our ongoing study of Daf Yomi. We are now beginning the fourth chapter of Masechet Nedarim and Daf Lamed Bet Amud Bet. And the first Mishnah is divided into two mini sections. Ein bein hamudar hana'ami chavaro lemudar heimenu ma'achal. Just as one prefatory note, this chapter is going to deal with the implications. In the previous chapter, we dealt with who is included in a neder, depending on the wording of it, and we dealt with all sorts of variations, Yordei Hayam and Bnei Noach, etc. Now we are going to deal with the much more knotty issue of what are the implications of taking a neder. In other words, what sort of relationship is now defined between the mudar, and we're going to use this phrase a lot, so the mudar is the one who has been banned as a result of the neder, and the noder, who is the one who took the neder. And in most cases, in the typical case, a person has said, you may not get benefit from me. And that's how we're going to play it. So now, Ein bein hamudar hana'ami chavaro, the mudar himenu ma'achal. This is a Mishnah that shows up in the collection of Ein beins in the first chapter of Masechet Megillah, just the first half of this Mishnah. The only difference between someone who takes a neder of hana'ah, that he will not get any benefit from someone, and a neder of ma'achal, of food, is drisat haregel v'chelim she'en osin behem echol nefesh, is that if you only took a neder regarding food, you can walk on the guy's property. Or if you said you can't get hana'ah from me, he can still walk on your property, and you can also lend him vessels that have no association with food. All right, but if you took a neder of hana'ah, he can't walk on your property, and he can't borrow any vessels whatsoever. Now, hamudar ma'achal mechaviro, if he took a neder of ma'achal, of food, lo yashelenu napa'u kvara v'rechaim v'tanur, then he cannot lend him a sifter, a grinder, a mill. In other words, things that are used for making food. We'll see why. Aval mashilo chaluk v'tabad v'talitu nizamim. But he can lend him jewelry, he can lend him garments, etc., because those things do not fall under the rubric of food. We will see that even that is not so simple, because it depends on the circumstance and exactly what was formulated. The Gemara immediately asked the question, Mantana, who is the author of our Mishnah? And the question is, who is the author of our Mishnah who says that if you took a neder of hana'ah, you can't walk on the guy's property? Walking on somebody's property or walking over the lawn or something, something most people just forgive. So why is it still prohibited? It wouldn't really be considered hana'ah. Amar Ada Barava, Rabbi Eliezer, this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who we'll see later in the fifth parak. Tatani Rabbi Eliezer, Omer afilu vitur asur b'mudar hana'ah. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion, it's a famous approach, that vitur, which means being forgiving, is asur b'mudar hana'ah, meaning I can't say, yes, you're not allowed to get benefit from me, but walking on my lawn is just no issue whatsoever, go ahead and walk on my lawn, that he still is not allowed to. That's Rabbi Eliezer Shita. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer must be the author of our Mishnah, who says that if you took a neder of hana'ah, at a total hana'ah, then you cannot walk on the guy's lawn. So the Gemara now assesses why it is that in the language that he used, he is prohibited from using, from getting benefit of vessels related to food. He just said food. Really what he said was, I'm not going to get any benefit of your food, meaning anything that is benefit associated with food. So, ema shaloyel oschitin v'iten amakatos. Maybe what that means is that I will not only eat food, in which he would have said ma'achal, but he won't even take food and use it for something else. For instance, as an example, we saw this earlier, and it's mentioned in Psachim also within the context of chametz, to chew up some wheat and then spit it out and use the gunk that's created as a salve for a wound. That's hana'at ma'achal. That's benefit that's from food. So why are we extending it to vessels, a sifter and a mill? The Amarava, so he fixes it even further. I am going to ban for myself any benefit that leads to food. So that means a mill and a grinder. Now that opens up a whole door. Amarav Papa, sakla havi perot. What if he takes such a neder? Then he also is not allowed to borrow a sack to go to the market and get perot. Get fruit, chamor la viala perot, or to borrow your donkey in order to go to the market and bring back stuff on the back. Even a basket. Hanam v'yal demachalu. That's also considered hana that leads to food. All right, now, Bar of Papa, or Papa takes it even further and says, what about this? If you took such a neder, we said, any hana that leads to food is asur to me. What if you said this? Susler kovalav. You want to borrow a horse from this fellow. V'tabadle ropa, or a fancy ring to show it off. Mahu. Now, you're using these things in order to appear at some gathering, and everybody will think you're wealthy, and they'll invite you to their house for dinner, or if you go to the dinner, you're going to get a better cut of food, or sit in a better place and get better food. In other words, it's a very, very indirect piece that allows you to get food. Mifsak umeza ba'aremai. And the second question is, taking a shortcut through this guy's backyard in order to get to the restaurant, or to get to somebody's house for dinner. Toshma. So what's the answer? Avamashila chaluk v'talit nesamim v'tabaot. Our Mishnah said that if you only took a neder of food, and the way we formulated hanam v'yalim machal, you're allowed to borrow clothing and jewelry. Now that included jewelry. Ma'echidami. What's the case? Ilam shalole rot pahan. If it's just because you want the jewelry not to show off and get invited to a meal, etc., then tzricha lememar. Do you have to say that? The Mishnah doesn't have to tell me that if I took a neder of not eating, that you can, I won't eat any of your food, that you can lend me a fancy coat. One has nothing to do with the other. So it must be, elalav shafidu l'ropan. It must be that we're talking about borrowing, garments or jewelry, even to show off, and that'll get you an in to a better meal. And nonetheless, you're allowed to do it because that's so indirect. Uktani mashilo. Shalo li'olam shalo l'rot. No, really, we're going to interpret it the other way, that you're borrowing clothes because you're cold. You're borrowing jewelry because, your fingers feel empty without it. But not because you're trying to use it to get yourself to a better meal. So why then do we have to mention it? It's so obvious. Since the first half of the Mishnah said you cannot lend, meaning you cannot lend a sifter and a mill and a grinder, therefore, in parallel, it said you may lend clothing and jewelry. Although, really, that is something that is very simple and straightforward and doesn't need to be said, but nonetheless it's said in a parallel construction, which means, according to that Rav Papa's point may be answered in the negative. You may be that you're not allowed to even borrow fancy clothes or a ring if your purpose in doing so is to get yourself invited to a better meal. All right, the next end of that Mishnah says, V'chol davar she'enosin bo'ochel nefesh, makom shemaskirin kayotze behen asur. So, if you took a neder, they were talking about vessels that are not used for food, but are the kind of vessels that are rented out in that district, then you really are not allowed to borrow those things, even if the only isser is ma'achal, right? Because after all, if you took a neder of straight hanah, you can't borrow the guy's things at all, in any case. So what we're saying is that if you took a neder of ma'achal, you may borrow his garments and his hoe and other things like that, things that are not directly related to food. One, I guess, could argue about a hoe, but that's very indirect. But that's only in a location where people don't generally rent them out. But if they rent them out, then by you borrowing it, you're getting hanah. And if you think about it, that's hanah. It does lead, in a way, to food, because, after all, as the Ron points out, if normally it would cost $5 to borrow this shovel, to rent this shovel, and the guy gave it to you for free, that's $5 you can use for food. So that's Hanat Machal. Good. Mechlal Dereshal Bisha Ein Maskirin, so the Gemara immediately points out that in the first half of the Mishnah, it is true that you cannot borrow such vessels, even in a place where they don't rent them out, where they just lend them. That's if you are have an Isur of regular Hanah. Mantana Ravada Brava Rolezer. Again, it's Rabbi Eliezer who says that Vitor Osir. Because if you didn't accept Rabbi Eliezer, then you would say, when the guy says, here, borrow my shovel, obviously he sees it as being nothing, no big deal, he's just lending it out. And therefore, that's not really considered Hana'ah. Hana'ah would be if it's something he normally rents out, and he lends it to you. So there's a gain there. The answer is no, because that's Vitor. Because the guy is saying, I'm foregoing the rent. You get to borrow it for free. That's also a Hamudah Hana. Okay, Hamudah Hana Michavero. This next Mishnah will, which is the beginning of Mishnah Bet, which will take us into the next category, which we will not complete in this podcast, because it is somewhat of a long and somewhat of a complex piece. Hamuda hanoa mechavero. And part of the problem in this Mishnah is, and in the Gemara's later development of it, is a problem that I pointed out several times in Nedarim, is the parties are undefined. Who's who here? Hamuda hanoa mechavero. Shokel lo et shiklo. So if, as an example, you are not allowed to get hanoa from me, I can still bring the machzida shekel on your behalf. Poreat chovo. And this is the strange one. I can pay off one of your debts. I can also return something that you lost, that I found, I can return it to you, even though you're not allowed to get hana from me. Now, if it's an area where the custom is to pay somebody for their trouble in returning a lost item, and you don't want to pay me, and you want to pay me, and I am foregoing the payment. So again, I told you that you can't get hana from me. Alright? I can still go and pay your machzor shekel, I can pay your loan, pay off your debt, we'll have to see what that's about. I can return a lost item, and let's say it's an area where the custom is that you would pay me $10 for my troubles. And I bring it back and I say, forget the $10. Now you really got hana from me, because there's $10 that you don't have to pay. There, tipol anola hektesh, you have to pay the $10 to hektesh. The $10 becomes hektesh, because you're not allowed to get benefit from it. Okay. Alma avruche ari ba'alma huvashari. What we see from our Mishnah is that paying another person's debt is like chasing a lion away from the door. Literal translation. Meaning, all you're doing by paying the guy's debt is getting the creditor off his back, but he's not getting any direct hana'a. Mantana, who could be the author of such a position? Amar Rav Hoshaya, zu divrei Hanan. Now, we'll have to see where Hanan comes in. I put the Mishnah on the page. It's worth looking at. Hanan is in the first two Mishnayot in the 13th chapter of Ketubot, which we recently completed, and we saw that there were the two rulings of Hanan and the seven rulings of Admon, and by the way, the halacha follows Hanan in both those cases, as the Gemara said, and you see the Rambam on the page towards the bottom in the box. I quoted the Rambam from Hilchot Malva Volove, that we rule like Hanan. Now, Rav Amar, filu tema divrei akol. We'll see Hanan in a minute. Rav says, no, it would even be Hanan's opposite numbers. In this case, the Bnei Kohanim Dolim and Rabbi Dosef and Orkanos would agree. Gabe mudar hana diyai v'amanat shaloli froa. Because in our case, what's the situation? The guy took a loan out on condition he doesn't pay it back. Now, that's a very bizarre statement. It's not a loan. It's a gift. What it means is, like the Ron explains, he took out a loan and the creditor agreed not to come after him, not to pursue him. He'll pay it back when he's good and ready. And the creditor believes him. And if he'll pay him back today or tomorrow or in a year, in 10 years, in 20 years, it's all the same. Which means the creditor is now not coming after him. Which means now that when this fellow pays off the loan, he's not saving this fellow from any trouble. He's not helping him at all. And perhaps this guy could even have convinced the creditor at some point to forgive the loan. So this guy didn't really do anything for him. Now, my Hanan, let's see the case of Hanan, the Hanan's ruling. Did none. Mishalach ninatayam, a fellow is married, and he goes off on a trip, and didn't take care of his wife, didn't leave her food. And one guy stood and on his own, voluntarily paid the wife for food, gave the wife food. Hanan amar ibedit ma'otav. Hanan said, he has no claim. He lost his money. So they disagreed, and they said, when the husband comes back, the guy should take an oath how much he laid out, how much money he gave the wife for her food, and that's how much the husband has to pay him. Why? The reason Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai rules like Hanan is he says that Hanan said correctly, this fellow put his money on the horns of a deer. He just, total speculation. He spent money on something, extended money on something, without any guarantee to get paid back. And indeed, the Baal doesn't have to pay him back. Rava lo amar krav oshaya. So now we assess this assignment. Rava assigned our Mishnah to Divrei HaKol, and Rav Oshaya assigned it specifically to Hanan. So why did Rava... And Rava had to come up with this weird circumstance that it was a loan taken without any due date. He said, why did he do that? To come okim amatni tinkidivir akol. Because he wanted the Mishnah to be part of a consensus, that everybody would agree with it. Rav Oshaya lo amar k'Rava. Why didn't Rav Oshaya accept Rava's interpretation? Gzeira sholi para mishum li para. He said, because even in a case where the fellow lent money without a due date, we still would not allow you to pay off the debt if it was the sort of thing that you would have to then turn around and repay, not like Hanan, because of as a precaution against the case where there was a due date. And therefore, he said, nobody would say that is not considered Hana'ah unless you accept Hanan's position that voluntarily paying someone else's debt, the other fellow doesn't have to pay you at all, which we then translates into you did not give him any Hana'ah. If you did give him Hana'ah, he would have to pay you for it or in some way mollify you. But the fact that he doesn't, according to Hanan, means that it's not considered Hana'ah. And the next shiur, we're going to pick up at this point Machzir lo et Avedato and go to the end of Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, the end of this particular sugya. Everybody should have a wonderful day.